At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Sternberg. He is in London. He writes political economics for the Wall Street Journal editorial page. He's a member of the editorial board. He also reviews books for the Wall Street Journal. And a new review, the author of the book is former Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke. You will recall Mr. Bernanke, before and after the financial crisis of 2008, was a strong voice for many of the tools now commonly discussed at the Federal Reserve, such as the strange mystery of what is QE or the whole idea of forward guidance. The new book is 21st Century Monetary Policy, the Federal Reserve from the Great Inflation to COVID-19. That would describe the era that I've lived through. And Joe, you find this book engaging because Mr. Bernanke is not ready to concede any mistakes, or Mr. Bernanke is ready to declare victory. How to say this positively? I'm trying to sell books, Joe.
Well, I think that the main argument that Bernanke is making here is that what the Federal Reserve has done since the 2008 financial panic has worked, and that the Fed should have more authority to do more of what it has been doing. You'll remember that they felt that they were facing this unprecedented situation because first they had to find ways to rescue the economy from the worst financial panic since the Great Depression. And in that sense, I think that actually the Fed probably can be said to have succeeded very well. And that's because they were serving their traditional role as the lender of last resort in the economy. Although I think there is some debate about whether they interpreted that role a little too liberally and tried to rescue some institutions they should have been prepared to fail. But I think that the bigger controversy has always been what the Fed did after that, because the Fed pretty quickly shifted away from firefighting mode and into this attempt to bail out the entire economy. Because after the financial panic, we had the Great Recession, and the idea was that the Fed should implement all of these policies, like buying very large quantities of treasury bonds and mortgage-backed securities, quantitative easing, or forward guidance to try to use statements and economic projections and press conferences to guide the market in a particular direction. And the view was that if the Fed did these things, it would allow the Fed to, influence the economy for the good at a time when the Fed's traditional policy tools like short-term interest rates weren't as effective. And the difficulty is that the Fed has done a lot of these things. They have a lot of political economy consequences that the Fed has never really thought very much about. We don't know really how well they work or how easy they are for the Fed to exit when the time comes to not do them anymore. But Bernanke is out there really beating the drum for more authority for the Fed to keep using these policies.
Let's do some definitions, Joe. What is forward guidance? That is a tool that Mr. Bernanke is pleased with, and I'm presuming that's the same forward guidance now used by not only Jerome Powell, I think the ECB, I think Ms. Lagarde is using it. What does it mean?
Well, I mean, forward guidance is this practice where, officials at central banks will do press conferences and speeches and statements and that sort of thing, which are designed explicitly to signal to markets, to investors in bond markets, to investors in stocks, to you and me, what the central bank intends to do in the future. So that takes several forms. I mean, the central banks will try to be very communicative about their expectations for what the economy is going to do so that you'll have some idea of what situation they think they'll be responding to. And then they will tell you sort of what they think the future pace of rate increases might be, or how long they think that they will wait until they change interest rates. And the point of this is to try to influence long-term interest rates, where central banks traditionally only had levers that they could use to operate very short-term rates. And the purpose of this, they say, is to make monetary policy more effective by signaling to markets what that policy is going to be. The downside with this is that you also train markets not to do the market's own job of making their own guesses about what they think policy should be or what they think economic conditions will be, because instead you're training investors to invest based solely on the signal they're getting about what the central bank is going to do in the future.
And another term of art we hear much of, QE, and you tell me there's a corresponding QT. What does that mean?
Again, I mean, QE was this policy tool that they adopted of buying large quantities of bonds, particularly longer term bonds, specifically to try to shift interest rates at longer terms than the very short term rates that central banks traditionally tried to influence through their old policy tools. And again, this is something where, you know, they say that they have a lot of economic theory for how beneficial it is to be able to steer longer term rates, but these policies have huge consequences in terms of the size of the central bank balance sheet and what it means to have the central bank such a large participant in the market for some of these securities. And then we also don't really have a lot of good experience for what the central bank should do to get out of these policies. And so it ends up creating a real minefield for them to have to navigate. And they're finding now that they have to navigate that minefield at a very delicate economic moment.
So I want to put all this together. Forward guidance, that means something. Is it what we've seen in the markets recently, which is headlines talking about 0.75 point? They did that before the June meeting. Now they're doing it again. They, as these are esteemed sagacious voices, sometimes said to be Federal Reserve governors, sometimes said to be friends of governors. I don't know. They're in headlines that we're looking at 0.75 point. They said that before June, and that's what happened. Although there was that day that they talked about 1 full point. Again, we're seeing 0.75 point in headlines. Is that forward guidance? It doesn't strike me as leaking. It describes something about what we want to do. Can we count on that as we go into the markets, forward guidance?
Yes, I think it's fair to interpret a lot of those leaks as a form of forward guidance, because remember this whole discussion at the last meeting in June about the 0.75 percentage point rate increase happened because the Fed had previously signaled very clearly that it was willing to do 0.5 percentage point increases. And then as the inflation data came in much higher than expected, and it became clear that the Fed was going to have to surprise on the upside. I mean, the other thing with forward guidance is that they think that it is a tool to keep from surprising markets. So they think that if you signal to the market what you're going to do, you won't have to deal with any unpleasant surprises or overreactions or excessive volatility or fluctuation as investors digest what you actually do. And for that reason, the Fed seems to have signaled ahead of the last meeting and the days before that they would do a 0.75 point increase. And the European Central Bank did the same thing last week. I mean, for all of this talk about how the ECB surprised with a 0.5 percentage point rate increase last Thursday, they had leaked to a news outlet, I think it was Reuters, you know, a few days before that meeting, that actually they were thinking about a 0.5 point increase when previously they had signaled a 0.25 point increase. So this kind of strategic leaking seems to be becoming part of the forward guidance toolkit.
Now we come to the Federal Reserve meeting right now and announcement from the Federal Reserve about the next decision. We've had forward guidance. We've talked about QE. We certainly know that we're waiting for a decision and a press conference afterwards. This combines with U.S. consumer confidence, which is a report in these last hours, dropped to nearly 1.5-year low in July amid persistent worries about higher inflation and rising interest rates. So everybody in America is now aware of the fact that things are tattered. We're all aware of the fact. Does that help the Federal Reserve make its decision when they're not going to surprise us, when they're going to do what we expect, and when it's already in the market? Is that stabilization, Joe?
I think that it's actually getting a lot harder for the Fed. One thing first to point out is that after the latest inflation data came out and we're another 40-year high, there was briefly discussion in the market about whether now the Fed might do a 1 percentage point increase instead of 0.75 percentage point. And this time, the leaks coming out of the Fed said, no, we're not going to do the 1 point. It's still going to be the 0.75 that we had talked about before. So I think that's another instance of this forward guidance phenomenon starting to manifest itself, in this new way, sort of through the media, in addition to through some of the official statements. But this in turn is creating a real problem, because what's happening is that as the inflation data deteriorate, the Fed is signaling what it is not prepared to do to fight the problem. And that seems to be creating the sense in the market that the Fed might end up losing its nerve. And so you're starting to see this suggestion that some investors think that the Fed is going to actually cut rates next year, that we'll end up in the situation where there's going to be inflation potentially still, but also a recession, and that because of the recession, the Fed will start losing its nerve. And so I think that makes the forward guidance situation even tougher, because now the Fed has to come up with some way of signaling its intentions around this, but then its credibility is on the line if it ends up changing its mind at some point.
You point to a mystery that's come up in these last days. Is it a recession? Does that matter? Now, I've been told different versions of this. Is it a recession when we have two consecutive quarters with negative growth? For example, the Atlanta Fed, which keeps a running tab, has been negative for some time for the second quarter. We'll get the final report soon enough. But is that a recession? Because there seem to be voices in Washington, the executive branch, for example, they want to say it's a recession when we say it is a recession. There's a headline in the New York Times suggesting that two quarters drops are not definitive, that there are other red flags that are not flying. So does it matter if it's a recession to the Federal Reserve? Does that help or hurt their job if we think it's a recession and they don't?
I almost think it doesn't matter at this point, because I'm a political economy columnist, and I actually think this issue of recession is more a political question than an economy question. If the Fed is looking at the economy right now, the most important thing it's going to see is that the inflation is continuing. And there is not necessarily a very strong connection between inflation and a recession, even if there is one. So I think that the appropriate thing for the Fed to do is continue with its single-minded focus on fighting inflation and leave it to the elected branches of government, the president and the Congress, to come up with policies such as tax reform or deregulation that can avert the worst of a recession if one comes. But I mean, the real answer to this question of are we in a recession or not is actually, do you think Democrats are going to do well in the midterm election? Because, I mean, a more reliable indicator to my eye of whether the economy is growing or contracting is the outcome of the next election, whenever that election happens to be. And we're having, the political discussions we're having in the U.S. right now about the difficulty and the problems that Democrats are facing the next few months, precisely because there is this intuition that the economy is not functioning correctly for the majority of Americans. And you can call that technically a recession or not a recession, but that is the reality that people are experiencing around their kitchen tables every night. And the inflation is a big part of it. And that is the thing that the Fed needs to focus on fighting.
Joseph Sternberg, political economics columnist for the Wall Street Journal editorial page based in London. When we come back, life in London, not only in the parks, but throughout the land, heat and drought. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
What if your top salesperson was 1,000 times more efficient? And what if a limitless digital workforce helped your number one find leads? A super team working 24/7 on their behalf, thinking, acting, and solving complex tasks so more deals closed. What if with every sale, each customer felt like they were the only customer? That would be one very efficient sales leader. Now, imagine if every person on your team worked to the power of 1,000. They can with Agentforce, the powerful AI from Salesforce.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.